This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication.
Hit it, Steve. More like, hit it, Omar. You know what I'm saying? I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I want you two in the ground.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
Awesome!
But no bogart that joint.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah!
Just pass it around.
Head is gonna hurt.
And no bogart that joint, my friend.
Can't believe it's April already.
Just pass it on down.
And now,
I'll tell you something. Between you and I, this building is filled with some dumb f***ing people.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, pretty people. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's for a Fri-Yay.
Yay.
Yay it is.
Day it is.
9th of August. Ooh, I think the Yays may have it this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Oops, Kevin. Sorry. Taken.
Oh, just taken back.
Yeah.
How are you, fellow kids?
Great. All How right. about you?
Let me know if I cross over a workplace line here, Allie.
Uh-oh.
But you had your hot girl summer going yesterday with that new hair look.
Thank you so much.
Seriously.
For noticing. I think you just got so used to 4 months of me not getting a haircut and mm-hmm. not feeling like brushing it and putting it in a bun. But I could look pretty good if I do
yeah.
say so myself.
If and I second that emotion. But mm-hmm. why? I mean, 4 months without a haircut indicates depression to me.
No,
like that's a lack of self care.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't that an extremely long amount of time to go between haircuts, especially for somebody with long hair?
No, because I have extremely healthy hair, mm-hmm. so I could have gone 3 more months. I don't get split ends. I don't.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have very bizarre hair. I don't understand. I'm very thankful. My mother is a natural redhead, and I think because of that, I got her just kind of thick hair that's really healthy, and I just haven't gotten a trim, which is what I needed for my long layers. God, how many people are still listening?
Hair talk!
I mean.
I'm fascinated. Jensen, how long can you go without a haircut before you start to look like a shaggy dog?
Probably like 4 to 6 hours.
You do. Your hair grows fast.
Very.
Jensen starts off clean shaven every morning, leaves with a full beard.
Yeah.
He looks
ZZ
like he's
top.
Walking. He looks like he's coming out of Castaway when he leaves the building.
My arms look like an Armenian forest.
It's cool, though, that when you wear a watch, you actually have to move the hair out of the way to mm-hmm. tell the time.
It's like a clearing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's like working with a werewolf.
Yeah.
I'm about, I don't know. 8 weeks, maybe?
No.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's different if you have short hair. You have to do upkeep for that. But when
I have
you
keep
have
it off my ears and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have really long hair. I mm-hmm. cut off 4 inches yesterday, and people were like, your hair is still so long. I know, and it'll be longer in an hour. It's just, it's cuckoo. I don't get it.
Well, it looks great.
Thanks, Bean.
Just want to say, looks great.
I appreciate it.
I spent a lot of time... And maybe this is what eventually is going to kill me is the stress of planning to live to be 100 because mm-hmm. that is, as you know, my long-stated goal, and I intend to make it.
Sure.
But at some point, I do feel like it's detrimental to my health to worry about it so much, because I think, well, you know, I can avoid the obvious potential death scenarios. I'm not going skydiving or whitewater rafting or anything that's going to put me in obvious danger, right?
Okay.
But then I see a story of a, you know, and it happens all the time, even here in Southern California, where somebody's just laying in their bed or sitting on their couch and a plane comes through the wall, you know? Like, there's no, I mean, it happens. Planes crash and there's just no way to avoid a freak accident.
Sure.
Don't you think, though, that it's your time to go? If you're sitting on your couch watching Netflix and a plane crashes on you, that was your time.
I don't. I think it's random. I think it's completely random. I think that, it, you know, it could have just as easily been the guy next door. I don't think that
wasn't his time.
I don't think there's a master plan of somebody looking down and just
there. Do you want to know your time? I know it.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
I have it, but it's sealed in an envelope. So we have to make a decision if we want to open it.
I have it, but it's in Al Capone's vault. So we've talked about this in the show before. I 150% would open that envelope.
Oh, really?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I would
want it. A lot of people would.
No, I would not.
Because they think they would. Why? Because it would terrify you?
No, then countdown? I'm counting down. Yeah. I'd rather just go into it blindly and stupid, like most of my life.
But if you knew you had 60 years left, you could really relax and enjoy it.
It would still never be enough. Like, once I got to 59, I'd be like, oh, 1 year left. Like, I don't want to have that kind of looming sadness.
But it gives you the opportunity to
it out. All right, 3 years, Bean. It says 3 years.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
But that also, you have the opportunity to make great choices, think about how much credit card debt you could run up in 3 years that you'd never have to pay.
That is a good point.
Right? I mean, you're just saying, go for it.
You're saying no when to use your bucket list kind of stuff.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. Rather than being one of these people who dies at 72 and never saw Europe. You know what I mean? Go ahead and do the stuff.
Are they still together? Do we know?
Europe.
I'm not talking about the band Europe.
It's the final countdown.
Although that would be a very appropriate song for...
Yeah, makes sense.
For the bucket list.
Right.
All right, let me just tell you why all this is on my mind. Because here is a Cambodian man whose name is Sumbora. He, I don't know why this is his job, but he's out collecting bat poop, okay?
Oh.
He's a guano collector.
Right.
And bat poop is excellent fertilizer and is considered valuable, a lucrative commodity in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. So that's what his job is he goes out and he scrapes guano. He scrapes guano off the cave walls, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, he slipped between two rocks on Sunday while trying to retrieve his torch and was stuck. Could not get out. Mm. Shades of the movie with the
137 hours. Yeah,
right. He's 28 years old, no food, no water, stuck in a crevice of a mountain. I had lost hope of staying alive, and if I had a knife with me, I would have taken my life, he said. He was eventually discovered on Tuesday by his friend, Chakray Mountain. Excuse me, that's where the thing was.
I was going to say, that dude was his friend.
They named the mountain after him.
What
is
that
amazing?
Chakray Mountain is where... But a friend who had often joined him to collect the guano said, oh, I think I know where this dude might be, is this trail. So they found him. And he was also a small-built person, was able to fit through a narrow passage and find the guy stuck inside a cave. So he called rescuers. They had a hell of a time trying to get him out. In fact, the rescuers couldn't even get into the cave because they were too big. You have to be practically a kid size to get into this thing. Mm-hmm. 200 rescue operation personnel were needed to eventually blow up part of the cave in order to take him out. He didn't get out until Wednesday.
My gosh.
From Sunday to Wednesday, he is stuck in a cave.
Man, that I know that's terrible, and I know he was close to death, but, like, pretty relaxing. No problems, no
Not
meetings.
Not relaxing.
No meetings, no work.
Pure panic.
Oh, my God.
Pure panic, because you think, how long can I survive this?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I guess
you
you're
want
right.
To live,
if I knew
lose...
I was going
to
get... It's like the envelope. If I knew I was going to get...
Oh, now the envelope's looking good.
Yeah. Because then I'm like, I'm fine.
He is. He was treated for head, knee, and chest injuries and is expected to make a full recovery.
That's pretty great.
Wow.
But I would imagine you just go through such a roller coaster of emotions thinking, okay, I'm going to be able to shimmy myself out here. Even if you just think, at some point I'll be here long enough that I'll lose weight... And that'll make the difference between able to get in and get out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you think, well, surely somebody's going to come look for me. And that gives you hope for a while. But then another full day goes by and you're just by yourself. And I think at that point you go, well, no one knows where I am. I mean, I would just think your mind would never stop racing during this about how it's going to end.
Could you sleep in between these mountains?
I think you would from exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to fall. He's stuck.
Right. But I'm saying, like, is he's just straight up and down?
Yeah.
Sleeping straight up and down.
Yeah, it's kind of at a 45-degree angle.
Oof.
Yeah. So I think you could sleep, and then you wake up and go, God damn it, I'm still in a mountain. So anyway, I guess I say all of that to say this. I am going to no longer collect bat poop. I don't think it's safe.
Okay.
It's not, yeah. You now know what the consequences could be.
I know the risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know the risk. So I'm going to cross that off my list. Let's talk about today's all-new show, shall we?
Hold up. Say what?
I think it's a good one, you guys. We're going to talk about revenge poisoning. You won't believe this, but Allie and I separately have found completely different circumstances of somebody trying to poison a family member. Now we got to worry about this?
Yeah, you should always...
I got to worry about every meal that comes out of my kitchen I got to worry about?
Listen, if you watch Dateline, you would worry about the water right next to you. I'm telling you.
Also, the fast food report from Jensen on the program today. We'll talk about hotel room disasters, the worst thing you've ever seen in a hotel room. I know we are late to the party on this, but it goes viral at least once a year. We've never addressed it on this show, but the Armageddon DVD commentary by star Ben Affleck.
This is speaking my language.
Is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
We'll walk through some of that today. That's my jam on the program today. You'll get a chance to help us pick the music with Keep It 100 coming up. And I'm sorry to say, the return of our feature, Is It Racist? Is going to be back on the program
today. This one
holds
a lot of weight.
this one may determine whether this is my final Friday. All of that coming up, plus Allie's What's Happening Next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, Allie, time for a first look at what's happening this morning.
You guys, remember the last season of Game of Thrones? People, none too happy.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, people writing in saying, redo the whole season. People saying, off with their heads. Dan Weiss, David Benioff, those guys.
Petition trolls.
People just really bummed. They didn't show up at Comic-Con. People were like, good, because we were going to be so mad at them. I mean, things haven't been good for those guys at all. Yeah, sure, they're going to be in the Star Wars universe come 2022 doing some Disney stuff.
And I kind of imagine they made hundreds of millions of dollars off Game of Thrones.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Other than that, I mean, what are they doing, right? Well, after 10 years with HBO, Game of Thrones creators Benioff and Weiss are taking their talents to Netflix. They had originally been in contention for an Amazon deal. Then Netflix came in. They're like, I think we can offer you something better. And that better is apparently $200.
They got them for cheap.
Yeah, they got them for cheap. A $200 million multi-year overall film and TV deal with the streaming platform Netflix. So congratulations, petition guys. You got them.
Yep.
No sure one's did. Ever going to hire those two losers.
You sure ruined their life.
Woo!
I assume this means they're not making that Confederacy show?
No, I think they had canceled
that
one
a long time ago. That's better. Better off.
Yeah, I think. Or Benioff.
Nah.
I hate me.
Wow.
I know, it wasn't great.
Might be worth filing it.
Okay.
Good luck to those two. I mean, seriously, that's absurd, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
A lot of money. Bean, you're going to live in London soon. You've been there a ton. You were born there, for God's sakes.
Correcto.
Do you have that photo walking across the crosswalk at St. John's Wood Crosswalk?
Well, of course, I've been to Abbey Road.
Okay.
And, but I did resist the urge to take that photo.
Really?
I don't think it's effective if you're the only person.
Oh, you need to have a full
bag. I think you need a crew. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, possibly thousands of Beatles fans crowded at the Abbey Road crosswalk yesterday. Beautiful London morning. They were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the band's iconic album cover, taken across the street from the EMI studios on August 8th, 1969.
I think they recreated it the exact time
yep.
that the original photo was taken. And it's so fascinating because it's the Beatles' best-selling album, one of the most famous album covers of all time. Mm-hmm. And apparently, my understanding, and Beatles legal maniacs will correct me if I'm wrong, is it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment idea. Hey, we need an album cover. What do you want to do? And somebody said, let's just go walk across the street. And the whole thing took 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a second. It's insane. People would think that was something that they set up months in advance. Yeah. And it was literally, oh, there they are walking. Click, click.
They went across the street one way, then turned around and went across the street the other way. They went back in the building. And that was it. They were done.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But yesterday they had a black Volkswagen parked behind the crosswalk, the same make and model that sat in the background of the original picture.
Neat.
Some visitors came dressed as members of the band. They had lookalikes there as well.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Vehicles stuck at the crosswalk for up to 10 minutes at a time due to the crowds. Mm-hmm. They brought police in for the traffic. Just insanity down there. I would have, if I knew it was the 50th anniversary, I would have taken a different route. If that was, you know, the street I had to somehow go down.
Yeah, a couple streets over.
Yeah.
Use Waze.
You've got Waze in London, right?
But I don't think most people would even be on their radar. You know what I mean? They would never even think of it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the group was there because, of course, the 50th anniversary, and the group and
great
its label.
Great album. Yeah. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
I think a lot of people think that. By the way, they announced a forthcoming expanded edition of the album due out September 27th. Studio outtakes, a deluxe book.
And check that out.
You've already pre-ordered that, haven't you, B?
I haven't, but I will get it because there's, you know, demos for songs on there, including songs the Beatles didn't record. So, yeah, I'm all about it. I love that. That's I love when they go through the archives and
check out.
Find cool stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
For sure.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Some birthdays for you guys. A good day, good people. Gillian Anderson, Eric Bana, Sam Elliott, Anna Kendrick, Jessica Capshaw.
Wow.
I want all of them in the same movie.
How about this guy? Just for Jensen, Justice Smith.
Wait, Justice Smith's real name? Wait, who's Justice Smith?
He was the lead in Detective Pikachu.
Oh, that kid.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I wouldn't
To say no more. That's what's happening.
Allie, when there's a Detective Pikachu on screen, I don't see anyone else. Now that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock. Do you guys ever fear, and maybe this is just more about my own marriage than you need to know, but you ever worry about getting poisoned?
I don't have the constant fear of poisoning, no.
Really? I do. I do think about that. Because it happens.
It does.
It happens where people get poisoned or somebody tries to poison them, and puts something in their food or drink.
Sometimes over time, such little amounts, but then it adds up and then you've got carcinogens in your body and you're dead.
That has happened.
Yes.
I saw, we've talked about this before, I love the advice columns, and Dear Prudence is one that I read from Slate, and I saw this week, and I thought it was fascinating, and I wanted to share it with you and see what you guys think about it. Dear Prudence, my mother-in-law hates me and makes no bones about it when she and I are alone. My husband doesn't believe me, and she even gloats about that. By the way, this is a very toxic situation.
Good Lord.
It's like, this is a bigger problem.
Yeah, if your mother-in-law hates you, you got a long, unhappy life ahead of you. Yeah.
And if your husband doesn't believe the things you're saying.
Bingo. Your husband's got, look, I know it's tough for the husband to be in between his mom and his wife. You got to be team wife.
Always.
Got to be.
Yeah.
We have to attend family functions at her home about once a month. It used to be more frequent, but after I put my foot down, my husband agreed that monthly would be sufficient. The problem is that after each visit, I wind up with a bad case of diarrhea. My husband does not. I don't know if the other in-laws are affected because if I asked, it would get back to her, but I suspect my mother-in-law is putting something in my food or drink. Last time, I barely made it home before being struck down. Now I'm considering getting some adult undergarments to make sure I don't ruin the car's upholstery on the ride home from her place.
No.
Yummy.
Do you have any advice? I'm no Prudence here. Stop going to your mother-in-law's for food.
I mean, she's just accepting that once a month she's going to poop her pants.
Yes. I mean, this is what I would say to my husband. Your mom, your problem. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
If I'm getting sick every single time I eat at that woman's house, I'm not, maybe I go and I don't eat, but my choice would be to not go.
So we think she's putting like a laxative in or like Visine. Isn't Visine a way to make people poop themselves?
I think so. I think so.
You know what I would do?
Yes, please.
I would go to the next dinner and I would say to my husband on the car ride over, listen, I know you don't believe me, and now I'm being gaslit. I don't even know if I believe myself anymore. Every drink she hands me, you're going to drink. When we get the plate in front of us, we're switching. And we're going to see if you poop your pants later tonight.
I poop my pants a little.
Are you secretly Prudence? Because that is practically her advice.
Really?
Yes. Here's her response. You're not sure you're being poisoned. It's possible you've entered a Pavlovian cycle in which when you eat your mother-in-law's food, your digestive tract automatically goes into overdrive. By the way, this poor woman can't get anybody to believe her.
Yeah.
Shouldn't Prudence be at her side? Or it is possible there's some ingredient that she regularly uses which doesn't agree with you. Wow, way to be a mother-in-law apologist.
Yeah, what is going on? Can't she believe a little bit of this?
I mean, it's not like this woman has said, I have a long list of allergies for food and drink, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense if there's something, you know, she's allergic to a spice or something like that that this lady regularly uses. But there's no indication that that's the case. All right. It's possible that she's trying to harm you, of course. This is what Prudence says.
Okay.
I've been reading a fascinating book called The Poisoner's Handbook.
Keep eyes on Prudence, guys.
Yeah, somebody needs to look into her circle of friends. Fatality. It's about poisoners in the early 20th century when it was a popular way to off someone and the story of the new forensic scientist who exposed them. You should peek at your mother-in-law's Kindle to see if she has downloaded this.
Oh, this is terrible advice.
This is terrible.
Wow,
this
Prudence.
One specific book I own. Please check if she has it. That's a terrible suggestion.
I feel like maybe Prudence is like wrote the foreword or something. Yeah. She wants people to download this book.
Yeah, she's pushing the book more than she's trying to help this lady. I mean, you're right, Jensen. This is terrible. She's not addressing the problem at all.
No.
She's just starting a book club. All right. The next time you... Here you go, Allie. Here's your advice. Mm-hmm. The next time you go for dinner at her house, after the food is served, but before you begin eating, you and your husband should agree to swap plates and cups.
Love that.
If your mother-in-law screams to her son, don't eat that, case closed.
Yeah.
Of course, this would require your husband to take your concerns seriously. It is alarming to think that your mother-in-law might be deliberately sickening you. Equally distressing is the fact that your husband does not believe you when you describe her malicious behavior. Amen on that, by the way.
Right.
I mean, that's a real problem.
The good advice comes after she tells you to buy a book.
Right, exactly. You need to tell your husband that after becoming repeatedly ill at your in-law's house, you have become afraid for your health. Tell him that you are so afraid for your marriage, you're also afraid for your marriage because he apparently believes you are a liar, which you are not when it comes to his mother. Say he needs to take that seriously. The fact that she says ugly things when you and she are alone as well, and you're not going to stand for it anymore. If that doesn't result in his attention and concern, then he may need to move back in with his mom. Which I think is nice shade to throw at the end. All right. So, update on the story since this letter was originally printed, which is they followed Prudence's advice and it played out exactly as we all expected it would. She was poisoning her daughter-in-law and she has filed for divorce from her husband.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And she can basically press charges on the mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if it's attempted murder because I don't know how serious the injury was, but it certainly is
attempted diarrhea.
Intentional harm or injury or something like that. So this whole thing, she is divorcing now. This man, and good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole, you need to get away from this family.
Yeah, this family sounds like a bad deal.
Yeah.
So I guess the moral of this story is what?
Wear diapers to your mother-in-laws.
All right, good enough.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jensen is here. It's time for another edition of the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. with your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Oh, thanks, Officer Omar. Hey, guys, listen. Fast food is up and running. Things are crazy in the industry right now. Everybody's trying to find their vegan menu using Impossible Meat or Beyond Meat. But I'm here to tell you about more of the rarities that are going on around the world and the United States.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you at the end if you're ready to eat it or beat it. This week I'm excited because Muggs will be answering.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And we
Isn't
know that
Muggs an automatic eat it for any food?
He has said beat it before, but sometimes I think he's doing it just for the optics.
Okay.
So that he's not just a guy who eats everything I bring up.
I mean, I've never seen him turn down any kind of food, whether it was identifiable or not. If
right.
you put it in front of him, he will snarf.
I mean, I licked poop once.
He well, did. That's
please,
true.
Can you please pull that? Also, 7 a.m., what are you eating right now, Muggs?
I'm eating a delicious double smoke shack from Shake Shack.
Okay. So just keep
there's
that
our, there's our boy.
Keep that in mind. Here we go. Politics may be the main focus of Washington, D.C., but not for long, as McDonald's just announced they'll be testing something new in the area. Blueberry McGriddles.
Ooh!
Around 100 select locations around D.C. Will add this magic to their breakfast menu. All right. It includes thick-cut applewood smoked bacon, a fluffy folded egg, and a slice of melty American cheese between two blueberry griddle cakes. This gives a bit of a fruity twist to the McD's classic. Is this new AM twist bringing the fruit or the poop, or in a more concise way, eat it or beat it? Let's start with Allie.
I'm going to tell you, sausage McGriddle is one of my favorite things because you get the sweet
and
savory.
I get it.
It's wonderful.
But add the blueberry.
Add the blueberry, and can I add sausage? I want sausage on there.
I'll allow it. That's a change. Okay, so...
I'm going to eat the hell out of it.
With an asterisk, it's an eat it. Bean, what do you think? An eat it or beat it?
I just love hearing Allie talk about sausage. Yeah, you know, I think blueberry is a great flavor that is underrepresented in fast food choices around the world. I'd be willing to give it a try. I'll say eat it.
All right, very good. Muggs, it's your first take.
Look, always been a proponent of the McGriddle.
Yes. I should be.
The bacon, the sausage, anything. And when they came out with it, I was so excited. The syrup in the bun.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're adding blueberries.
I'm just guessing. Yes, you're absolutely right.
I love it. Give it all to me.
Okay, let's travel to Malaysia and see the unique take they have for what is usually known as original recipe for KFC. Get ready for green chili crunch. It takes the basic KFC fried chicken and prepares it in a spicy marinade, then fried up until crispy and toss in a combination of green parsley, green lime, and chili. This gives the chicken skin a brand new zingy zesty taste. You get it in a crunch box meal with a side and a drink, or in a 2 or 3 piece combo, all around $5. So when it comes to this regionally exclusive green chili crunch chicken, does it deserve Malaysian fame, or does it need to disappear like a Malaysian plane? Or in other words, eat it or beat it. We'll start with Muggs.
Look, ever since I wrote the literature on how spicy foods will help eliminate colon cancer.
That was you, Dr.
Anything Hunt. That has chili or spice on it, and when it comes to fried chicken, I am eating, baby.
Yeah. All right, I could have guessed that one. Allie, what do you think? Eat it or beat it?
I'm going to eat it.
Eat it.
Bean?
I'm not only going to eat it. That sounds so good. I am now going to reroute my vacation plans and go to Malaysia to make sure I can.
Very good. That seems like a smart idea. We recently chatted about the French's mustard ice cream and wondered what monstrosity is next. What could be worse? Well, I have your answer. May I introduce you to the Oscar Mayer ice dog sandwich? Yep. Let that sink in.
Ice dog? Explain.
Oscar Mayer ice dog sandwich features a hot dog infused ice cream with real bits of candied Oscar Mayer hot dog wieners mixed inside and served next to spicy mustard ice cream.
I know I have to
wait for my turn, but F that.
Well, I'll give it to you. Concocted in honor of National Ice Cream Sandwich Day during the week of August 12th, the iconic Wiener Mobile will tour Manhattan giving out samples, and those in the New York area can follow them on Twitter to see where they'll be next. But I can't imagine a world where you would want to do that. So I have to ask you, Oscar Mayer ice dog sandwich, bring the frank or ignore the dank. Eat it or beat it. We know Bean's answer. Allie, you're up.
I love that it said real bits of
candied hot dog.
So you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat the hell out of that.
Okay, Muggs, this is truthfully, the real tell sign.
Guys, this is just like another normal Friday night for me. After I smoke a bong rip and I'm mixing all my foods together, doesn't matter what I eat first, hot dogs, ice cream, spicy mustard, eat it, baby.
They all end up together anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
they all come out the same place. Here we go. Krispy Kreme can do no wrong in my eyes, and now they're pushing the envelope even further when it comes to their infamous Baker's Dozen. The Mecca of pastry is teamed up with the Angels at Reese's, and I know this speaks directly to Bean. The new Reese's Lovers Original Filled Donut.
Whoa.
Available for a limited time, they've introduced the Peanut Butter Lovers Donut, which consists of a chocolate original glazed donut filled with chocolate peanut butter cream, dipped in Reese's peanut butter icing, and decorated with a
slow down, icing drizzle. Slow down.
Putting together the wonder world of glaze and peanut butter, it's available individually or in a dozen.
Keep going. Almost there.
Into the filling or more interested in chilling Reese's Peanut Butter Krispy Kreme Donut. Let's ask Allie first because I'm afraid of a flood. Eat it or beat it.
Yes.
Yeah. It worked. It worked for her.
Yes, please.
Eat it or beat it, eat it. All right, there we go. Mugs, what are you thinking?
Somebody needs to do a hand check on me. I'm eating it.
Ew. Jesus. Bean?
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Wow.
I knew that. Even when I saw that story, I was like, this is up for Bean.
Yeah, that's for everybody, though. That's magnificent.
All right, now I'm going a completely different direction. I understand that someone making the decision to eat at Arby's has already decided they love meat, but I have to ask you, how much meat is too much meat? Part of their bourbon barbecue lineup, they have just debuted their bourbon barbecue barrel stack sandwich.
Bourbon barbecue. Okay.
It features a buttermilk chicken fillet topped with pit smoked ham, 13-hour smoked brisket, brown sugar bacon, melted cheddar cheese, crispy onions, and Kentucky bourbon barbecue sauce on a star-cut bun. It's like someone went hunting and put all the trophies in bread. It only yields 880 calories, which I was surprised to see, right? But when it comes to sodium, 2,710 milligrams, which is 80% of your daily needs in one entree.
Wow.
So I ask you, bring on the meat sweats or pass off the weak bet. Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Mugs.
Look, it's not going to be great for my cholesterol, but boy, will it satisfy my meat craving. Eat it!
Eat it! It seems like the right decision, Bean.
Way too many of my pets on that sandwich. I got to have to pass and beat it.
You've named like four of those things. Allie, eat it or beat it.
I love bacon, which is why people find it very strange that I absolutely despise ham.
Mm-hmm.
Ham's disgusting. And if you invite me for Easter or Christmas and you have ham, F off.
Okay.
Beat it.
Beat it.
Well, I mean, it seems like we did pretty well here.
Yeah.
Muggs continues to eat fast food at 7 a.m. and pretends he won't eat anything on these lists. That was the fast food report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM, that was the fast food report with Jensen Karp.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Omar, what are you doing in here?
I'm here to present some evidence. Mm. I'm going to try to remain as impartial as I can.
Okay.
Because yesterday, something happened on the last What's Happening that some people might consider racist a little. So I'm here. We have people on hold, black listeners.
Yeah, the jury is standing by.
Right.
It is called Is It Racist?
Can you help me out? Because I have no clue. Is it racist? I don't know. Do you? Is it racist? Come on and let me know. Let's all find out on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it racist? Is it racist? Is it racist? Come on and let us know.
I'm glad you have the whitest theme slot in the world for this feature.
It really sets up the answer.
All right, what's your first piece you'd like to put into evidence?
Okay, Allie was talking about coming to America 2. There's going to be a sequel, and let's play this first clip, Mugs.
I like that. Wesley Snipes.
Sure. Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy.
Wakanda Forever.
By the way, what?
I said Wakanda Forever.
Why?
Because there's so many like famous black actors in this movie. No association there when you start to see all these big stars lining up? Just reminds me of the big film from last year. It's the number one movie of the year, you got.
That's clip number one.
Yeah. And a total dropout from the crowd.
Yes. Everybody, you know what, just took a step back.
Right.
And all, Bean, this is on you.
We also know that when it eventually ends up on the news, our voices would be heard. So we were fine to stick
around. Good call, guys.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in with juror number one. This is going to be Dave, line six, San Pedro on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a middle school principal. Dave, based on what you've heard so far, is it racist?
All right. So what I've heard so far is just made me laugh because, you know, coming to America, they got the two African princes, or the one African prince. That's mm-hmm. what Eddie Murphy plays.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to go straight to Wakanda. After going straight to Wakanda after hearing about Coming to America 2, it's not racist yet.
I will accept that. All right, thank you very much.
Can I ask you, Bean? Did you have any idea that the prince was from Africa in Coming to America?
No, never occurred to me.
Didn't think so.
That makes sense.
But Dave is excused from the jury pool. Thank you for weighing in. Omar, we go back to you for more evidence.
Further evidence. So Bean further explains and tries to defend his comment.
I'm just saying, it has a similar star-studded cast. That's
because of
all.
Their skin color?
Yes.
That star-studded cast in Black Panther?
Uh-huh.
Who were they?
Yeah.
Well, there was Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
There was Michael B. Jordan is in it.
Yep.
Who's the guy who's in everything who's great?
I think you're done. I gotta be honest. I think that's it. I mean, I'm not going to give you Chadwick because I don't
Chadwick Boseman, of course, the star. Yes,
he can't come up with it.
I don't think phenomenal. He was a star, you know.
Bean is a racist. Bean
no.
is a racist. Bean
look,
is a racist. Oh,
okay.
There you go.
Don't let the theme song sway you.
I was going to say. All right, let's go to Danielle. She's on line one. Gardena. She's a customer service rep. She is on the African-American jury. Is it racist yet, Danielle?
It's getting there, Bean.
Okay.
If there's another clip, you're in trouble.
There's four more.
Oh no. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening and weighing in. You are excused from the jury. Thank you, Danielle. Oh my gosh, this is starting to look good for me. Okay.
This is turning.
So Bean decides to kind of defend himself and kind of apologize.
I want to apologize right now if anyone interpreted that, my remark as being racist. I was just making the comparison that it's another super, super movie. Sounds great.
You're saying it sounds like a really black movie is what you're saying.
You're not helping yourself.
It's a very black movie.
Anytime you see a black person in a movie, you yell Wakanda Forever. We know that.
Okay. I'm not sure that's true. Let's go to Tyrone. Not making it up, line seven.
Tyrone, I'm so glad you called because I was like, he better.
Grocery store manager Tyrone, are we at racist yet?
Yeah.
Oh, really? sincerely. Yeah. Okay, how come? Tell me why.
Could you make comments like that?
He's not wrong.
And what's the problem? Help me understand, Tyrone. What's the problem?
Why don't you elaborate on what you said?
Oh, I think that is getting me in trouble. I think elaborating is not helping.
I think we have one more clip for him to do that.
Okay. All right, Tyrone, I'm going to put you down as send Bean to the gas chamber. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Appreciate you listening. All right. Final clip.
At this point, let's all ask ourselves, do you guys think Bean sees race?
Yeah.
Look, I don't see race.
That's all you see.
Except you do see it.
And Sterling K. Brown. This is what I'm saying, you guys.
Mm.
There were a lot of great actors in Black Panther, and it sounds like the movies Ali's describing is the same.
Mm. By the way, Bean, did you see Black Panther?
No. That's not in the clip.
No.
I asked him at the end. I said, by the way, Bean, you've been seeing it? He's like, no, didn't have
never
time.
Seen it.
No, nope.
Never
all
seen
right.
it.
All right, let's do the final clip, and then we'll go back to another
show. We finally get past that, and mm-hmm. Ali does two or three stories.
At least.
And it's Scott Stapp's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Singer from Creed.
Right, the singer from Creed, and this happens.
Pretty cool. I think we enjoyed our visit with Scott.
I mean, do we want to trust Bean's opinion now after this? What's happening?
Probably not.
Probably
not.
No, he'd like Scott Stapp.
That's sad.
I didn't care for his driver. Who was a very annoying white guy. I don't know what you...
Wow!
When Muggs is weighing in.
Yeah.
All right, Nick in Ontario, line two, please. Go back to the African-American jury. Nick, is it racist?
Yeah, it's racist.
See?
Racist as hell.
Yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, can you explain it to me in a couple of sentences?
It's not his job
he's
to explain
never even
racism.
He's seen the movie.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't know anything about it.
You know black people are in it, so you can yell Wakanda forever?
Yeah, see, that's what we're saying.
You know, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound great.
That's a wee bit racist. Yeah, just go.
Well, that's just go.
It's Kevin and Bean on K Rock, KROQ.
So, if you're just joining us, Kevin had to apologize for his racist remarks from the end of yesterday's show.
That was you.
It's you, Bean.
And he is, I'm pretty sure it was Kevin because he is on suspension. He's off today.
He had taken the day off well in advance
just
because
thinking
he
about,
knows you're racist.
Yeah. Thinking about his actions, that's all. Just, you know, spend a little quality me time, and he'll be back Monday with a new, less racist attitude.
Nah,
it was you.
So, that was Kevin. Okay. I mentioned earlier today that I know that we are late to this because it has been, well, literally, it's been around for 20 years. But you said, Allie, this goes viral about every 8 months, right?
Yeah. People are like, have you seen this? And everyone's like, yes, we have.
Well, I had never seen it. It was not on my radar at all. And I was fascinated when I saw it just yesterday on social media, the DVD commentary for the film Armageddon, Ben Affleck's segment. And there has been much written. There have been a lot of deep dive, a lot of articles written about whether he was drunk or if he was just ticked off at Michael Bay, if he just realized it was a terrible movie and just did nothing but make fun of it. Like, what's the real story on this? So I went through the commentary last night on the DVD. Now, Jensen, you're a movie head.
I'm a DVD head even.
Yeah, you have hundreds of movies.
Yes.
How often do you listen to the director or actor commentary on a film?
I go through spurts, but I would say I probably average 3 to 4 a year. Just pop them in, see what's going on.
And you got to obviously got to make time for that because you're not really watching the movie.
Yes.
You know, they talk all over the movie. Mm-hmm. It's really just to hear the behind the scenes, and usually you do it on a film that you would enjoy.
Yes.
I can't imagine anyone needing more information on Armageddon.
No, I don't think anyone needs to deep dive or find out what the motivation was.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise to me. Can we assume that most people know what Armageddon is? It was
massive,
a movie.
Yeah, it was a blockbuster.
It was a huge hit. Maybe the biggest movie of that year when it came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was, along with Deep Impact, it was a movie about, I think, an asteroid heading toward Earth, and you have to try to figure out a way to stop it from hitting. This movie, by the way, is in the very prestigious Criterion Collection.
Which has never made sense to me.
Which is shocking. And that's where you put, like, Schindler's List.
Yeah, or like Wes Anderson puts out all his movies in Criterion Collection.
Right, exactly. Like, how does a movie with a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes end up in the Criterion Collection?
Yeah.
I don't know. But Ben Affleck starts off his commentary, and I have to be honest, I was a little nervous that maybe he wasn't into it at the very beginning. When he shows up on the track.
Hi, I'm Ben Affleck. This is where I first come into the movie.
I mean, doesn't he already sound out?
He sounds tired.
He sounds like he's not. This is where I come into the movie. I can't believe I have to do this.
This scene was shot in a little oil platform in Los Angeles, not out in the sea.
I mean, I'm listening to that and I'm going, this dude does not have the energy or enthusiasm to make this track come alive.
I also feel like he forgot the movie existed. Like, he's just like, a minute, we shot it. I kind of remember in L.A. It's like half there.
Bruce Willis is one of the big stars of this film, along with Billy Bob Thornton. And in this very entertaining segment, Ben Affleck is making fun of Billy Bob.
Anyway, this is where the country feller tells all the NASA boys some good old down-home NASA science logic. Now take a look at this here asteroid there. Well, I reckon that there asteroid coming to hit us.
So he's doing Sling Blade.
I love it so much.
Which I think is so funny that he's doing this.
Yeah, I suppose so. Come on, guys. The president was a particularly cool man. Didn't pay my employees much of a wage. Can you see it? Sling NASA. What? I hit you with that dark eye blade.
I love that. And by the way, for those who say, and this is a very popular theory online, is that he was drunk or a little bit drunk. I'm not hearing any of that. I think he's just being hella entertaining.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It's on the line still. Let's see where
really?
It goes.
Really? Yeah. Okay. All right. He makes, again, Ben Affleck doing the DVD commentary track for his film Armageddon. He makes a very good point here, I think, about the plot here.
We drill. We bring in the world's best deep core driller.
Have you ever noticed how everyone in all these movies, they always have to be the best? He's the smartest man in the world. Bruce Willis is the best deep core driller. I didn't know they rated deep core drillers. You know what I mean? Like, if you went around and asked somebody, like, who's the best? Who's the best deep core driller? You know what I mean? Like, I'm the best espresso maker there is in Manhattan.
By the way, this is more than a commentary track. This is like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
100%.
Like, ripping a plot point. Yeah. he's just riffing on it. Again, a film that he stars in.
Yeah, that like helped turn him into a real star.
Which is unusual, right?
How do you know? Who's keeping track of these things? Stunt acting is always fun to watch. Whoa! A lot of times I really was upstage, but what was going on around me, I felt.
All right, here's my favorite part and maybe the most famous part of Ben Affleck's commentary, where he points out a fundamental plot hole in the film Armageddon.
I asked Michael why it was easier to train oil drillers to become astronauts than it was to train astronauts to become oil drillers, and he told me to shut the up. So that was the end of that talk.
I mean, you would take astronauts and you would tell them how to drill. You wouldn't take drillers and teach them to be astronauts.
He goes off on this for so long.
Yeah, the writer of Good Will Hunting is asking why a script doesn't make sense. I'd probably listen.
Yeah. But, I mean, isn't his point 100% correct?
Absolutely.
You find guys who have been out in the ocean their whole lives, and you, in a week, train them to be astronauts is the dumbest plot point ever. And, Allie, you're right. He's not letting it go.
You know, Ben, just shut up, okay? You know, this is a real plan, all right? I was like, you mean it's a real plan at NASA to train oil drillers? He was like, just shut your mouth.
Shut up, Quentin.
See, here's where we demonstrate that, because Bruce is going to tell the guys that they did a bad job of building the drill tank. See, he's a salt of the earth guy, and the NASA nerdonauts don't understand his salt of the earth ways, his rough and tumble ways.
Okay, a little drunk, maybe a little bit right there.
There was definitely a shot or two involved in this.
Or just having fun.
I like both.
I do too. I'm enjoying this way more than the movie. By the way, I'm enjoying this commentary. Yeah,
that's right. Well, that's because your cans are
like somehow they can build rocket ships. Like 8 whole months, as if that's not enough time to learn how to drill a hole. Well, but in a week, we're gonna learn how to be astronauts. One whole week. Now you know how to fly into space? I need my guys. Why do you need them? They're the best.
How is interviewing himself? He's playing both parts
in
the scene.
He's so drunk.
I don't think
they're serving him while he's commentating.
Oh, I love it.
Or he's just like, I think he's just in love with the absurdity of the movie. I think.
I don't know.
I mean, he was in it, and he's trying to defend it, but he can't because it's so dumb, but it's also fun. I don't know. I just think he's having a blast.
Everyone's the best. Why are they the best? I don't know. They just are.
I'm only the best because I work with the best.
I mean, this is a little bit of a logic stretch, let's face it. They don't know jack about drilling.
He's tearing apart the movie.
Be? I know. Again, his own film.
How hard can it be? Aim the drill at the ground and turn it on.
The government, the U.S.
You think it's just drilling a hole? There's a lot you got to know about. And when you're going to break, snap off an edge in a tree. On a corner of a hot pipe, and you're gonna get a gas pocket. Like, yeah, well, what about when the booster rockets don't fire and your EVA suit and your zero gravity, you know? Didn't you see Apollo 13, boy?
Jensen, do you own Armageddon?
I own Armageddon, not the Criterion, the other one. Yeah,
well, I think make sure you got the Ben Affleck commentary, because I think that your weekend plans have been made, my friend.
They also made Pearl Harbor together, and unfortunately there is no director's commentary on Pearl Harbor, but they should do it now.
Yeah, if it's not too late. Ben, are you hearing us? Get it done, son.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, Magnum P.I., how do you feel the look is going now that you've been at it for 2 weeks?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I love the breeze. I love the margaritas I've been drinking. Yeah. I'm pretty much on vacay 24/7 now, so...
And you used to be such a big rap fan, but now you only listen to the Margaritaville channel on SiriusXM?
Yeah, I'm a true parrot head, so...
You get any reaction from the friends and family and acquaintances in your life to full-time Hawaii insurance?
People seem to like it. I get good response, mostly from women around my age seem to be nicer about it. But I do every once in a while. Someone does ask me if I'm traveling after this when we're hanging out. Right. Or,
oh, you're heading to Hawaii? When's your flight?
Yeah, I think people like are like, oh, you know, be cool with that, LA.
I feel you kind of are starting to get the cool dad vibe, too,
good.
A little bit.
Yeah. Good. That's what I'm going for.
Right, Allie? Cool dad?
100%.
I'm going for cool dad.
All right. 7:52 here on a Fri-yay morning.
Fri-yay.
This is one of my favorite segments of the whole week because it's time for Allie McKay to introduce the additions to this week's That's My Jam playlist.
Yeah, this is when we talk about songs that we're super into because a lot of people don't know. We don't pick the songs that we play during the Kevin and Bean show.
I picked that lit song we just heard, I'll tell you that.
And I put in Harvey Danger every day. If it shows up, it's just a blessing.
Sweet baby Jesus. So we get to pick a song that we're either digging at the moment to introduce you to, or sometimes it can be an older song that comes up on a playlist and you're like, oh damn, remember that song? That's my jam. Which is why we call our playlist That's My Jam. You can follow it at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We're going to link you to it right now. There's over 100 songs, almost 6 hours of music on it right now.
And thousands of followers, by the way.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of really good feedback from people who are either road trip or doing errands or whatever it is, and they just put it on shuffle and go with it, and they seem to really enjoy it.
Absolutely.
That's high praise.
Every member of the Kevin and Bean Show picks a song for the week. Kevin is up first, and his pick is a guy named Spencer Ludwig. And he's a trumpeter, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, producer, born and raised right here in L.A. He was in Capital Cities. He recorded on their platinum debut album, toured with them 2012 to 2015. He's also performed with Foster the People, Portugal the Man, Fitz and the Tantrums, bunch of K-rock bands. Here is a clip of Kevin's pick, Spencer Ludwig with Best Life. I got mixed sauce for the job to lost on.
So just go through what you like, cause you can live your best life. You only got that chance time, cause I got my head right. So just go through what you like. Go ahead, live your best life. Go ahead, live your best life.
I mean, all right.
Kevin is dance or die, so that is right on brand.
Kevin is a funky bitch.
Yeah.
That's why he actually took today off, because he's like, I am a funky bitch and I need today off. Bean, you're up next.
My band is called Blossoms. Sorry, Jensen, nothing to do with Blossom, the TV show.
I am Bialik.
This is an English indie pop band from the Manchester area. They have a couple of full lengths behind them and a few EPs, too, and they're... I don't know. They certainly could be on K-Rock, that's for sure. They kind of remind me of bands like The Bravery that we played earlier this hour, but they are very melodic and very fun. The Blossoms is the act. The new song just released is called Your Girlfriend.
And when she smiles, I can't hide my jealousy. Oh, I can't take it. Boy, I hope she's faking it. I heard he bought her in today.
Kind of that electro pop sound, like a Franz Ferdinand or somebody.
I dig it.
Really, really fun. Again, Blossoms, Your Girlfriend.
I love it. All right, Jensen, your pick.
Okay, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be doing a thing I call the Rap Rock Rewind. This is stuff from the late 90s that I think people didn't get into enough that was in the rap rock genre. We're starting with a band called Shooty's Groove. They were out of Bronx. They had an album that I really liked called High Definition. They were super fun, and this was like a weird subgenre of that Limp Bizkit era of dudes who just kind of made melodic rap pop stuff, and this song was called L-Train. Resurrect myself, Lazarus, he was a man who died. Through the power of faith, he can arise. Open up your eyes and spy. Lazarus, better yet, open up your heart, y'all imagine this. Riding on a train.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got some good weekend jams going here, Allie. Are you going to ruin it?
I'm not going to ruin it because this song, I heard it and I was like, I'm sorry, what is this? Is this actual new rock that rocks? And indeed it is. This is a band called Broken Love. And you're going to want to look them up after. And Broken is spelled B-R-K-N. So Broken Love, I heard it and I was like, this is awesome. And I love this quote I saw from the singer and guitarist Justin Benlolo. He said, when I first thought about starting a band, it needed all the elements of rock and roll that I responded to. Big guitars, big drums, big vocals. I didn't want it to be too complex. It just had to be something everybody could digest in short and sweet format. Alternative, but it's all so heavy. I want to get right to the point. And then I reached out to them and I said, what do you want me to say on the air about you? Give me something that people need to know. And he said, just we're a bunch of young dudes trying to bring rock to the youth of today. And I was like, well, mission accomplished with this song. I'm going to tell you right now, try not to get pregnant when you listen to this because it's that good, you guys. Okay. Here is Broken Love with Shot Down.
I'm pregnant.
I've been listening to that song every morning as I drive into work. It wakes me up. It makes me happy. And my God, what do we talk about on the station all the time? There is no new rock.
Yeah,
well, what is happening?
Mean, there's, you know, your Greta Van Fleet and your Royal Blood. We played that Foles song last week that rocks. I mean, they're few and far between, but they're certainly worth seeking out.
And these guys don't sound like they're in a cover band.
It's true. Yeah,
true.
Is it a toilet baby?
It is not a toilet baby, but thank you for asking. That is weird. Yeah. So you guys, go to @KevinandBean on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We are going to link you to our playlist called That's My Jam. You're going to get all those songs in your ear holes today. So you're welcome. Some birthdays for you. We've got Gillian Anderson, Sam Elliott, Anna Kendrick, Jessica Capshaw, and one of my favorite actors, Eric Bana, who is amazing, and I need everybody later today to watch the movie Chopper, which is my favorite movie of his. It's from Australia. He plays the notorious gangster Mark Chopper Reed.
Great movie.
It is the greatest movie ever. And then after that, Google him because he was on a Australian sketch comedy show. That was the start of his career. People don't know this about Eric Bana.
Seems like a real deep Eric Bana.
I'm just going to say
run here.
How about just happy birthday, Holt? How about just that? Move on.
This character called Poida, and he would do the funniest thing. I'm just saying.
Could this be on your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, this seems like it could go onto your Bana cast or whatever you have just about Eric Bana.
And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Allie, so you're lurking around in Reddit.
Never, but I saw an article about somebody lurking in Reddit. And a user posted a photo of mold in a hotel coffee maker.
Oh, no.
And they said, this is why you always check the hotel coffee maker before you use it. And then they added, you know, it took weeks, if not months, for this ecosystem to develop.
That means hundreds of people have had coffee out of that coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Guys, ever since, it's probably been 20 years or more, was it Dateline that did the black light in the hotel?
Yeah.
Oh.
Disgusting.
The most disgusting thing that's ever been on television.
Yeah.
And that includes live executions back in the day. But I never want to stay in a hotel because now all I think about is every surface of a hotel is the filthiest thing in the world.
But don't you just have to accept the fact that there is fecal matter in your hotel room?
No.
But you have to.
You don't.
But I'm asking you to accept it because you just have to know that there's no way that someone's washed their hands every single time. They haven't washed all the comforters. You know that they don't even wash the heaviest comforter.
Yeah. This is a disassociation that has to be made because at some point you have to stay in a hotel room, yet you will, at least I refuse to accept that it's as filthy as that coffee machine that Allie's talking about. Mm. And you're right. They don't wash that top comforter.
No.
Ever.
I honestly think the coffee thing is, it's a problem, but it's not your worst problem in the room.
Because really, who's making coffee in the room?
And I'm going to tell you that I wig out. I mean, I've complained to the hotel when I've checked out if there's a stray hair in the shower on the wall when I check in. You know what I mean? Like that to me, and you know, obviously there's always hair in the shower.
Just a question whether
the cleaning people catch it or not.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's a lot.
We talking pubes?
No, okay. No, we're talking to. But there's a lot of ways it can go south in a hotel room. Allie, before we explain the phone topic, you have quite the regimen when check into a room, right?
Yeah. When I check in, first thing I do is I go to the ice bucket. I take the little baggie that's inside the ice bucket. I put my hand in it. I then take the remote control for the TV into my hand, and then I take the bucket bag off my hand and it becomes on top of the remote, because studies have shown that the TV remote is the germiest, grossest place there. That's number one.
Everybody's hands touch that, and it's never clean.
Yeah. No. Number two, I then go into the bathroom, I grab a piece of tissue or toilet paper, I wad it up, and I stick it right into the peephole. Nobody's going to be looking, on the door.
Oh.
Actual peephole. Thanks for dinging though. So nobody's going to be able to look in or pop out that peephole, turn it around. None of that's going to happen. Number three, I close the blinds and then I look around the room for any light. If there is a light anywhere, that is a camera and I am on to you, mother effer.
She's got a point. She's an icon.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
She's a legend.
She is the moment. I appreciate it.
So that's the checklist that you go through.
Oh, that's just my starting three.
And then she brings the vacuum in.
Yeah.
And
then
I put my
sheets on the bed.
Even at a 5-star hotel, like where it's really top notch and clean.
How dare you think they're any different? Those are some of the worst.
Oh, my God. What is the grossest thing or weirdest thing that you've ever found in your hotel room?
A body.
Oh, wow.
Literally. Do you guys remember at Comic-Con last year? I checked into my room. I got 5 feet into the room with my suitcase, and I'm like, there's someone sleeping in the bed. Turned around, walked out, and they were like, oh, we're really sorry. We gave you the wrong room.
The guy didn't wake up?
No. And it was like 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, I would have checked for breathing.
Oh, well, no.
Well, I would have thought they booked the room. Okay, so they assume this guy checked out. You check in and see a dead body on the bed.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he was dead.
Well,
oh,
he's
he
dead.
Might have been dead.
Rest in peace,
he
guy.
He was probably dead.
Oh, no.
At least he was there after the checkout
time. That's right. That's right.
Oh, dear.
Allie.
I feel weird now.
You should have at least gone through his pockets.
For sure.
I mean, seriously.
Totally missed that opportunity.
Lit. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Is gross what we're looking for?
I don't know if it's always gross. Could just be weird.
Could be scary.
Okay. Yeah. Weird, scary, gross, unusual things that you found in your hotel room. Okay. So you didn't do it. All right.
Yeah.
This isn't you coming home late and vomiting or something like that.
Yeah. It's not your best friend at a bachelor party who vomited.
Right.
Yeah.
This is something that showed up or was in your hotel room when you checked in, or something that happened while you were in the hotel room. I told you guys the story of me going to Las Vegas last year. Went to visit my father. Mm-hmm. Checked into a hotel, went about my day, went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, and found blood on my pillow. Not mine. Not mine.
That's gross.
And you didn't notice when you went to bed.
Didn't notice it the night before. Didn't notice it when I went to bed,
Nope.
A fair amount of blood, and I checked all over every possible place on my head, and I was fine. I had no scratches or cuts or anything like that. That blood was on my pillow when I checked into that room, and I slept on it.
This is also, though, coming from a guy whose Instagram account has a picture of his bloody hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember why that's there, how it happened.
That's not important, Jensen. We're not talking about that.
This is a real memento.
They'll never find the body. Shut up. Okay. But blood on your pillow, you guys.
You don't want it. Mm-mm.
And I did, believe me, there was a strongly worded letter written about that. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Muggs, you also have a story of something that went down in a hotel room that was not you, but was a little funky.
Yeah, walked into my Las Vegas hotel room where I was sharing it with my best man and my other buddy. I see him laying on the bed, and his head is in his hands, and in, like, disbelief. I'm like, dude, what happened? He's like, he's not saying anything. I walk into the other room. My buddy Randy, who you guys all know,
sure,
has a 2-inch gaping wound.
Don't say gaping.
In his leg, because my buddy Ryan was playing with a pocket knife and stabbed him in the leg, and Randy was pouring blood all over the carpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You switched rooms, right?
No, we stayed in the room, and the craziest thing is like, we dabbed it up with, like, water to try to clean it up. The hotel didn't even charge us. They didn't charge us any cleaning fees. So whoever walked into the room after us saw a crime scene.
What happened?
And then they used the pillow for Bean's room.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So the people who booked that room after you, they're the ones who should be calling.
Yes.
You're not going to believe the blood stain when we checked in.
It was insane.
All right, let's take one call quick before the break. 1-800-520-1067. Our friend Jody in HB is back on the line. Line one. Hey, Jody, how you been?
Jody.
Yes.
Always good to hear from you. What happened in the hotel room?
Oh, my gosh. We had this nice upgrade, ocean view in Santa Barbara, and in the middle of the night, we're awakened by this tap, and we realize it's dripping from above our room. And the kitchen was up there, so it was not a nice thing to think about what it might have been that was dripping on our bed.
What's going on?
Oh, my God. So you have water coming out of the ceiling onto your bed.
Yeah, well, we don't know for sure if it was water.
What's going on?
That would be a nice...
Yeah, water would be good.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was probably blood. Okay, Jody, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
This is a tough segment for first thing in the morning, you guys. Some of the gross things that you've encountered in hotel rooms.
Good morning.
I know, it's just...
Good morning.
Sometimes you...
Fabulous.
Right.
Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific.
This, okay.
Good morning.
This email.
Good morning.
Okay, thank you, sir. This email from Ted. I travel a lot for work. Hotels are absolutely horrendous. Even the 5-star spots I have found. Feces on phones.
Oh, God. Oh. That's a great band, by the way.
Bean, like you, blood on the pillow.
Jeez. Oh,
boogers on the headboard.
I never even thought of boogers on the headboard.
These are all great band names.
A dead mouse under the bed.
Oh, my God.
Which is a tribute act to Dead Mouse, which I think is cool. But the absolute worst was the corn kernel.
No, stop it.
Wait, we need to know where it was, though, because if it was on the remote.
I'm going to say I don't think it's just a corn kernel. I don't think it's going to be a normal corn. I think there's going to be a twist.
Allie is down for it if it's on the remote. Oh, my God.
No, the corn kernel was in the shower drain. Oh, guys. Which is also awful.
No. No.
Ted says, okay, Ted says, not even slightly kidding. Okay, so top that. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jason, please, line 4, Claremont, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jason, what's happening?
What's going on, party people?
You tell me. Bad hotel experience.
Oh, yeah. So me and the wife went up to Big Sur for her husband's wedding, and we were staying in one of those places.
Okay. Our phones are fading now. You're back.
It sounds like he was just in a bad spot.
He's back.
Okay. All right. So you and your wife living it up in Big Sur. Got it.
Better service now.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were staying in Big Sur in one of those motel, you know, campground type places. And early in the morning, I start to hear this, you know, people outside talking. And then I hear somebody come around the back, and I start to hear drilling. And I go, oh.
Go on.
Hey, yeah, I know.
I know. And then I hear like something come off the side of the building, and then I hear footsteps come into the bathroom, and I go, okay, this, now I'm thinking this is either going to be really good or really bad.
And, wait, hold on, Jason. What are the scenarios where it's good?
I think we all know what he means.
You know what I think, sure. You know,
you've seen that porn, sure.
Okay, all right. You're thinking threesome, no, I get then, it.
And then the door swings open, and there's a maintenance worker just in our room.
Still not. I'm still thinking it could be either scenario.
Yeah, I'm not out yet.
And so I look him up and down, and I'm all right, you know, this could work. No, but it turns out.
He looks good in a uniform, right? So was the deal?
He did.
Is it something as simple as he thought that room was unoccupied, he was just coming in to do work? And if so, why would he come in through the bathroom window?
Or did he look at you guys and go, do you guys need your pipes cleaned?
Right? I'm here to do work, if you know what I'm saying.
what was his explanation, Jason?
No, the explanation was that the people next door had locked themselves out of the room. So he goes, oh, okay, I'll just go in through your bathroom window. But for some reason, didn't know which window was correct at the hotel he supposedly worked at. And then came in through our window to find me and my wife, you know, not fully clothed. And,
understood.
Yeah. And the wife not happy.
And the relationship is still going strong between the three of you?
Oh, well, then, you know, we exchanged numbers and agreed to meet up later on.
Great. Okay. Great. That's the happy ending we were looking for. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. Got time for a couple more. Oh, did we just lose the dildo call?
Oh, no, we did.
Not the dildo call.
We lost the dildo call. We also lost the Wad of Bush.
We lost that one, too.
Another great band.
Oh, so many great bands. All right, let's go to Jansen Jensen. He's in Hollywood. He's on line 5. Hey, Jansen. Say hi to Jensen.
What to do, nephew?
Hey, Jansen. It's Jensen.
Hey, Jansen.
No, you're Jansen. He's Jensen. All right, what'd you find in the hotel?
A group of friends and I took a road trip to San Francisco, checked in a little after midnight around North Beach, got into the room, and there were two homeless guys just sleeping on the beds.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a mix-up. What was the explanation? Did they break in or what?
No, they paid for the room.
They snuck in through the window. They just removed the... The window, opened it up. They were in there, kind of were a little out of it, and then just quietly walked out. We all looked at each other. We're like, okay. Hotel didn't do anything. We just threw the sheets on the floor, slept the night away, got drunk, you know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Hey, I respect their hustle, man. I think it's pretty cool. All right, thank you, Jansen. Appreciate the call. All right, we only have time for one more. You guys like Nicola Placentia or Thomas and Santa Ana? How deep are you willing to go here?
Oh, that's a Sophie's choice.
I know. What do you think? Allie, what do you think?
I think you got to go with Thomas.
Oh. Allie, you agree?
Okay.
Santa Ana, Thomas, you're our final call. This is the call people are going to remember all weekend long. what's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm really happy to be here. I took a trip by myself to England, so I'm right there with you being as an Anglophile. And when I got to London, the previous night I'd been out with a bunch of friends partying, so I was exhausted. So I get to my hostel, I check in, I drag my stuff upstairs, and I go into the room, and there are three sets of bunk beds, each of them three high, which is pretty standard for hostels in London. And on one of them, three people are having sex. So we've got three Spaniards having a three-way, and there's somebody's stuff on my bed. So I go back downstairs, go to the manager, who happens to also be the bartender, and say, hey, there's somebody's stuff on my bed. He immediately runs upstairs before I can stop him to tell him that there's Spaniards, you know, enjoying each other's company at noon. And then, you know, so I follow him. We go back upstairs, and the Spaniards have finished. He tells me to get into the other empty bed in the room. I climb up. I get in, I go to sleep, I wake up, and I realize that there is a crusty stain on the pillow that I didn't see at first that has a consistency that high school has acquainted me with.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, that was a mixed emotions.
And you slept on it.
Oh, God.
Well, I was so tired that my head just, I was like, it's a top bunk, I don't care, I'm exhausted. I was up until 4 a.m., I'm, like, just burned out, and I go to sleep, and I wake up, and my eyes open, and I lift my head off the pillow, and it's the first thing I see, and I go, God, how did I miss that?
Now your eye is pregnant.
So I go get some antibacterial eye drops, and then I go check out, and I've never stayed in a hostel again.
And who could blame you?
I'll say this. The Spaniards did invite me to go partying with them later, so they were very polite.
Okay.
That's
all
nice.
Right. So I'm happy that you're able to find the upside to the adventure. Thank you, Thomas, and thanks to everybody for calling.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100,
I keep it 100.
All right, let's see what was so close this week. From San Pedro, Alex texted in, "Know Your Enemy" by Rage Against the Machine.
That would have been good.
How mad would Kevin be if that was the song and he wasn't here?
Yeah, good point.
Would have been good.
But he was Texter 99, so not fair. Texter 101, "Ready to Go" by Republica.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, was a great song at the time, and now you can hear on sporting events every weekend on television across this year. I bet they made a lot more money off of the being on TV than they have as a hit record. But that's a great song, Ready to Go. But there's only one Texter 100. I am going to introduce you to our new friend, PETA, who joins us from Santa Fe Springs. Hey, PETA.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on? Tell me about your Friday. What are you up to?
Nothing much. Just I'm going to start off my day here.
Whoa, cut out a little bit. You're going to stay off your what or stay on your what?
Okay, I'm just going to stay and take care of Bob.
Stay and take care of Bob.
I'm going to build a robot. I heard I'm going to build a robot.
Okay.
I love your phone. I want to talk to you all day. All right, is this the first time you have texted in on Keep It 100 or do you frequently try for this feature?
Oh, no, I've been trying for over, I think, like a year and a half already.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Is it same song every time?
No, I switch it up.
Okay. All right. Well, your tenacity paid off. I would like you to introduce your Keep It 100 choice for the Kevin and Bean audience, would you?
Yes, it's Western Girls by the Pet Shop Boys.
Hit it, Steve. In a Western town, a damn walls, the Eastern boys and Western cell service in Santa Fe Springs. Oof. She was Texter 100 for Keep It 100 on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Oh, good.
It's been a while since I've seen a song turned up that loud here in the K-Rock studio.
It was great.
Allie, what do you give that song on a 1 to 100?
100. Right, love that song so much.
How about on 1 to 10? How about if the scale is just 10?
Oh, see, then I'd probably go 7.
Oh, go back to the 100.
This was a joke from off the air 2 days ago, Bean.
Plot twist.
Stupid.
All right, you tell me, when was West End Girls released on its way to becoming a number one hit here in the United States of America?
I was a huge Pet Shop Boys fan, and I actually bonded with the lead singer of The Killers, Mr. Brandon Flowers, about our mutual love for the Pet Shop Boys. Mm. So I know for a fact that it was in the 80s.
Right?
Good work.
And Could you narrow it down somewhat?
Sure will. It was either 84 or 85.
Okay.
But I will go 84. 5. 4. 84.
Just tell me when you're done.
84.
Just tell me when the 84. Top stops spinning.
84.
I would have accepted either answer because the song was originally released in April of 84, becoming a club hit in the United States, but then was re-recorded and came out as a single in October of 85, becoming a number one single in the spring of 86. So, Alan.
Whoa. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That song had quite a run.
It did, yeah. She knows her Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
So, great suggestion, PETA. Thanks so much. We'll do it again next Friday right here on Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friend, so let me break it down for you as it officially ends. Hot Take Jones attack, God bless you. Kevin wrote out a fake angry Yelp review. And then he erased it, but no matter what the case is, it's hard to say he's not a dick and Bean isn't a racist.
Wakanda forever.
Ooh, I'm not touching that. Desus and Meryl stopped by and the brand was intact. You lost a wedding ring. A celebrity wasn't nice. Jerry O called in, but we talked about him twice. I admitted to the world I've never blown out snot. And Dave left a Dodger game because he was hot. He seems to hate the sound made when beer mug whistles. And a diaper's keep the penis down. It shoots up like a missile. An ad bed app like to any existing cast. If you missed that, download the podcast.
Wow, we covered a lot of ground this week, you guys.
We really did.
And if you don't get any of those references, then you missed out on some podcasts. You just go to radio.com or wherever you get yours and stay current with all the stuff on The Kevin and Bean Show. Great work, Jensen. Thank you for that. Allie, bring us home with a final what's happening for the week.
Well, do you remember a couple days ago I told you that somebody, and we didn't know who, a surprise guest was scheduled on Conan, The Late Show, The Late Late Show, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and The Tonight Show.
I do remember that, but I also remember that the fun was short-lived because Jensen apparently knew that it was going to be each show was going to have a different member of Friends, so he kind of spoiled it for us.
I did not know. And I said, wouldn't that be cool?
So then when it happened, we were all like, Jensen ruined it for us because there's no surprise now because, look, there they all are.
Well, it wasn't them.
Was it
Christopher Cross?
It wasn't Christopher Cross. He was sailing, so he couldn't make it in. You want to know who it was?
I do know who it was. It was
Farrah Abramson.
It wasn't. She was busy going out the back door. Not her.
Then it has to be
Kaiser Permanente.
Again, that is a hospital, Jensen.
Okay, was it?
I hope it's me.
It was not you.
Oh, it's
Steve.
It was not Steve.
Okay, how about
Wally? It
wasn't Wally either.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Jesus.
Wow, what a coup, though. Nope, it was not Jesus.
I mean, that's a guess that at least would make sense that he would appear on all TV shows at once, right?
Sure.
Yeah. He wouldn't even have to pre-record. He could literally be there at once.
Speaking of people who would have made sense. Mm-hmm.
Yitzhak Rabin.
Again, no, don't know who that even is, really.
All right, how about...
His name, Mr. Clean.
Not Mr. Clean.
It wasn't?
No.
I know who it was.
Okay.
Oh, who was?
Yasiel Puig.
God, I wish it was. I miss him so much. Not Yasiel Puig.
Okay, how about...
Valley Realtors call him the foot fetish guy, and he's been creeping them out for years.
I wish it was.
I have an actual guess.
Okay.
Arnold Braunschweiger.
It's not. It's not him.
You guys are playing, because I knew who it was.
Okay.
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
No, there were three people. It's just one.
Joanna Man?
No, I don't.
The President of the United States and the Commander of Cheese.
No, that's not a real thing.
Wait.
Yeah, D's Nuts.
Oh.
Not D's Nuts.
Okay. Bob Squarepants.
No.
Oh,
he's
good.
under the sea.
Good guess, Jensen, but I'll tell you what it was.
Mm-hmm. The Eagles fan that ate that poop off the ground after the Super Bowl.
High Tryon.
Is it Ty Tryon?
How about...
How's everybody doing? My name is Mr. Wacky.
It could have been Mr. Wacky.
Willie Tanner.
Was it Willie Tanner, the dad from Elf?
No.
It was definitely...
Bean, touch my peen.
I wish it was.
Well, if it were, it would have to be...
Ted Parrot Man.
Oh. Oh, I got it.
Pablo from Nicaragua.
Couldn't travel.
Iggy the Iguana.
No.
Debbie.
Not Debbie.
Flavor Flav.
No, he didn't know what time to come on.
Fergie.
No.
Nick Richards.
How about
El Gordo y la Flaca?
Frankenstein.
Got their own show.
Nope.
Could it have been?
What about an emotional support squirrel?
No.
Hugh Janus.
Oh.
Hugh Janus?
No.
Pablo the dinosaur.
No, but thanks,
George
Kevin.
Wilba.
Nope.
Prince Larry.
No.
Lady Gaga.
No.
Salim Abouaziz.
Fredson.
Now you're just screwing it up.
Salim Abouaziz. Salim Abouaziz.
That's my fault.
Remix.
Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Why don't I just tell you who it was?
Santana.
Because I know that it was
Johnny Utah.
No.
That can't be it because it's...
Sister Yvette.
No, it wasn't dear Yvette.
This is Groucho Marx.
No, he's very dead.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
It's just one person, not the whole band.
Zendo!
There's no person.
Chaos.
I just can't. Well, I will tell you who it was.
Jackson Brown.
It was Ron Burgundy, you guys.
That was my next guess.
Yeah. I was so close.
Yeah.
I said Hugh Janus. Isn't that the same guy?
It's very similar. Here's the thing. He did a different thing on each show. So he went on Corden, he did an animal segment. He went on Seth Meyers, and he debuted his ventriloquist act, which I need to see immediately because I have become obsessed with ventriloquist dolls. None better than Ricky. Stay tuned on my Instagram at Allie McKay if you want to check that out. But here is a clip where he went on Colbert and he tried his hand at stand-up comedy.
Ted likes to party, right? What the heck does that mean? Do you like to throw parties? Which, in a way, is a really nice compliment, you know? Means you care about people and you like to plan. It's going really good. It's going really good. However, people usually come off more aggressively, you know. Tonight we're gonna party! I want to party! We are going off! What does that mean? To go off. To go off where? To go off and find a private nook to plan a party? Tonight we are going off to find a quiet area and plan an elegant send-off for my cousin Denise. She will be delighted because of the care and forethought. Woo!
I just want to say, we said to Omar, just pick a funny clip. And then I went in and I said, so just explain what happens here. And he goes, it's a minute, but it is so good. Hmm. What? Omar, was that the right clip? That was... What?
Hiya, folks.
I think we need to check on Omar.
It sounded like it was... Not going over big.
No.
But the thing about Ron Burgundy, and by the way, Will Ferrell forever, he's
the best.
God.
The best.
He is so committed to that character that he makes whatever he attempts work.
And one of the funniest things I've ever heard him say was he was on the Conan O'Brien podcast. Mm-hmm. Conan O'Brien has a friend.
Needs a friend,
Needs a friend, whatever. He said he delights when it isn't going well. And he just hammers it home, and people get mad. That's what he, like, digs that.
Yeah.
When it never comes back around.
I mean, that character is, like, based in bombing, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, here's Omar.
To defend his terrible pick of audio.
A minute-long...
No, but you guys just said exactly what that clip was. Maybe it was more visual. Because it was clearly...
It's good for radio,
No. Because it was clearly not working.
Right.
I thought that's what it is.
Okay.
Oh, you know what I mean? Bombs.
Right, exactly. Okay. So that's what the clip...
Oh.
And that's a reflection on how Omar views our show, too, as he feels like this would be most appropriate.
Okay. This fits in most. Okay.
Fit in best with the Kevin Bean show.
DJ Omar Khan.
Right?
Sure.
Omar does not understand why we were all like, wait, what?
No, I didn't hear the first part. I just heard the tail end.
You don't listen to the show.
No.
I get it.
No. Yeah. Go back to the playing all the names thing.
We have a podcast. You aren't wrong.
You heard that part.
Ooh, good Lord. You guys, fresh off the premiere of BH90210, the Peach Pit pop-up restaurant, inspired by the classic Beverly Hills 90210, is going to keep its doors open due to high demand, you guys.
Okay.
See, you're stoked. The Peach Pit pop-up in Los Angeles sold out its two-day weekend run in less than an hour, but after the premiere and people really digging it, they've extended the run through the end of September. The doors are going to reopen on August 16th. Tickets go on sale today in 14 minutes. You just have to go to peachpitpopup.com.
Forgive my ignorance, but what was remarkable about the Peach Pit? Like, what would be the...
That was the hangout. That would be like
sort
of diner.
The cool part was really the After Dark, which was the club in the back.
Well, but I'm just wondering what was significant about it. Like if you went into the Friends Coffee Diner, you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Is the Peach Pit as iconic in terms of the things that you would identify, you would recognize?
It or just looks it like just, a
it's just
diner.
A diner.
Yeah.
And they're just calling it the Peach Pit.
Yeah. Unless they get Joey Tata, the guy who ran it.
I don't think they will.
Oh, he's dead.
I didn't.
He's unavailable.
I didn't think he was alive.
Okay. Well, if they bring him back, then I'll sign up.
sorry, Joe. He's alive.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's actually probably just going to be there. I will say that it's like the new hot trend to have, like, they have the Saved by the Bell place here.
Sure.
They have the All That Good Burger.
Yeah.
They have this now. I want to pitch the pizza place from A Guy, A Girl, and a Pizza Place or whatever. Mm-hmm. That, I want to do that.
Okay.
Well, that's a beloved American sitcom that no one ever stops thinking about.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be like, it's on everyone's mind. It's in the collective.
Mm-hmm. I don't, okay.
Sign All up, right. 14 minutes for the pizza place from Guy, A Girl, a Pizza Place.
That's the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
.com. I'm working on it.
They couldn't get .com. That was actually already taken, so they had to go with .org.
.org,
yeah. Spitballing here. You guys, today is predicted to be the busiest day for flying worldwide for 2019.
Not true.
That's not even close to true, is it?
More than 17 million passengers are expected to take to the skies and aboard over 115,500 flights today.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's just a summer weekend?
Yeah.
But it's not like when the kids get out of school or, I mean, why this weekend?
Maybe they're looking at it as like the last weekend of summer before the kids go back to school.
But I mean, this can't really compete with the day before Thanksgiving, can it?
Guys, today is predicted to be the busiest day for flying worldwide.
Yeah,
that's
Thanksgiving
baloney.
It doesn't make sense. Outside of America.
Lies, lies, and more lies.
I am going to say that is fake news.
Okay.
Ellie. It's fake. That didn't happen. It's not true.
Also fake news, the busiest airports are Beijing, Atlanta, Dubai, LAX, and Tokyo.
This seems like a story we didn't need to go over because it's a lie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust Whitey.
Is Beyonce pregnant?
Tell me more.
The Beehive seems to think so. She posted a picture on Instagram. She's wearing a long sleeve plaid dress, wearing purple lipstick. She's wearing cat eye sunglasses. And a crocodile skin handbag.
Why Babies am I come out of her butt, right?
No. Why am I telling you all this? Because she had her arms crossed with her handbag strategically covering her stomach. Boom!
And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
No, I don't think we're saying that at all. But fans did take to Twitter to react. One person said, "Do y'all think Beyonce is pregnant, or she just been eating good?" Another said, "Beyonce is pregnant. I can feel it in my spirit." But perhaps my favorite comment...
Is it a toilet baby?
A gentleman wrote, "I've knocked up a lot of women in my life, so trust me when I say, Bay is pregnant."
Well, I didn't set out to have a baby. Came from sex.
Was that a comment from Jay-Z?
I hope not. So who knows, you guys? Is she pregnant? Is she not? Did she just have a purse in front of her stomach? Maybe she had a burrito.
I think people tend to want to read, you know, it's like a Rorschach test. Whatever you want to see, you see.
There is that video online where she sits down and it looks like her belly folds like she was never really pregnant.
Right.
She was wearing like a
cushion. Oh, there was a definite conspiracy theory about one of her pregnancies being fake. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
And she's got the rest of the Illuminati to cover that up for her, too.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. We're actually going to be killed for talking about it.
Probably so.
Some birthdays for you. Gillian Anderson, Eric Bana, Sam Elliott, Anna Kendrick, Jessica Capshaw, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, and thank you, Jensen. Oh. Kevin is going to be back on Monday morning, but on your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Have a super weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right. What's this all about?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You lose. Get out.
Roll another one.
Oh, child, you know.
Just like the other one.
Let's all have sex.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You are such a
And I need another hit.
Like, somehow they can build rocket ships. Like 8 whole months, as if that's not enough time to learn how to drill a hole. But in a week, we're going to learn how to be astronauts.
Roll.
Racism is over. Don't fact check that.
Just like the other one.
One could say that, but should one?
This one seems to be about to
You know what? I'm not here to judge.
And I don't have another cent.
This makes you so proud to be a Californian.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I go back to Denmark.
Just pass it around.
The Cobb salad on point.
And the Bogart that joined my friend.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Today was a little rough, just awkward. I really don't know how else to describe it. Today maybe didn't go all the way as I planned.
That was a rush. I wetted my pants a little bit, but it was worth it.
Ew, no, abort, goodbye forever.
Bong, bong.
This game's in the refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights are out, the eggs are cooling, the butter's getting hard, and the Jell-O's...
World Star.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.